Let's just say we have never heard of fasting, we've never done it, and we're looking for some sort of biblical context for this. That's where I'm coming from today. So if you do me a favor and just hit delete right now on your experience or what you've done culturally with fasting maybe, and just say, okay, if I was starting from a blank slate, what does the Bible say about fasting? So A, foundational and basic. The theme of fasting is focused upon over 50 times in Scripture. It's seen throughout all of Scripture as something that God's people understood and normally participate in. So if the word fasting came up in the biblical context, everybody go, oh yeah, I do that. That makes sense, right? Number one, it's about food. Without exception, the subject of fasting in the Scriptures is some form of voluntary abstinence from food. There are cases where other comforts were also refused during the fast, but it's always in addition to abstinence from food. So I get asked all the time, well, does it count if I fast from Netflix? Yeah, I mean, who am I to say? I'm just saying what the Bible says. Every time you see the word fasting, it was always related to food. Okay? It's short-term and long-term. The Scriptures most commonly speak of fasting, and this is interesting, as a response to a certain season rather than a planned calendar event. So in other words, fasting is seen in the Scriptures, specifically, mostly the people of God saying, we're in a unique season, there's a unique situation, and we're going to fast together. Okay? However, we do see some reoccurring fasting, just planned out on the calendar, we fast every whatever day. Okay? And I'll get into the difference of those two in a minute. But the most common thing we see is actually longer-term fasting or longer durations. We see some one-day fasts, but we see a bunch of 3, 7, 10, 21, and 40-day fasts in the Bible. All of these fasts are either total or partial abstinence from food. Number three, a lifestyle. What we want to keep in mind is that biblical fasting is rooted in the voluntary desire of the heart. And fasting done out of a religious spirit results in no spiritual fruit. Let's just keep that in mind. Like, we're just doing fasting out of a religious, committed, you know, this is what God told me to do, but my heart is dead in this. Zero spiritual fruit. It might be healthy for you, but we're after the Spirit. And fasting is expected to be a normal part of a believer's life. It's not a matter of if, but when you find yourself or your community led to fast for an extended period of time. That's Bible. Okay, so it wasn't like, where did this fasting thing come from? It's actually normal life in the Scriptures, and we're kind of in a culture that goes, what's this fasting thing? That's for the crazy, radical people. When it comes to outward actions or works of the believer, we must bear in mind that the difference between legalism and voluntary love cannot be discerned outwardly. I'm fasting, you're fasting, Bob's fasting, and you can't look at us and see which one of us is actually fasting with the right heart. We're all fasting. Okay? But the difference, right, is of true fasting versus religious fasting is seen in the hidden person of the heart. And so let's keep that in mind. We can all be doing the same thing. Half of us could be operating in legalism, and half of us could be operating in voluntary love, and we don't know. You just know you. Jesus looks upon the internal motivation of our spiritual disciplines and receives love and worship from us even when we find ourselves operating purely out of self-discipline and feel nothing. So I want to make this point. There's a difference between religious spirit fasting and voluntary love fasting, a big difference. But sometimes in the voluntary love fasting category, you're going, I'm super grumpy, I'm not loving the Lord right now, I'm mostly angry. I'm hungry, I'm not connecting to this, but your heart posture in why you're doing it is pure. Does that make sense? You're going, Lord, I'm pressing into love. That's why I want to do this. I'm not doing this because I think it'll make me more righteous. I'm not doing this because I think you're going to like me more. I'm not doing this to be better than someone else. I'm doing this, Lord, I want to grow in love. God, I'm doing this because the hour's urgent and I'm humbling myself before you and say, break in for Israel, God. Right? But in that, we can be going, but I'm super, super grumpy. And all my flesh is just raging and I'm just going, I'm here, I'm doing this. And we'll have some season where we're like, I love fasting. Jesus is touching me. That's all great. We love that. Okay, but I don't want to paint some sort of picture that you're going to enter into 21 days of fasting with us and it's going to be all glorious because your heart's right. It's not. You're going to go through some tough days. You're going to go through some dull days. You're going to go through the what am I doing days. But the heart motivation to kick it off, that's what I'm after today. It's just saying, here's how we want to position ourselves and we want to stay in that place no matter how we feel. Right? Okay, with this in mind, a scheduled calendar fast is biblical and should be understood in the same way as a spontaneous fast when the motivation is right. When the heart motivation is right, it doesn't matter if the Lord blew a trumpet on you and said, I want you to fast May 7th. That's not more right in the heart than you putting it on a schedule yourself and saying, I want to fast on May 7th. If your heart's the same way as the person that got the trumpet call. Does that make sense? Look at Luke 18, 10 through 14. Let's look at this passage. Good old Luke, he just helps us out. Verse 9. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and then treated others with contempt. Perfect. This is what we were after. What's the right heart here? Here's the parable. Luke 10, two men went up to the temple. They both gathered on the seventh at Restoration Fellowship to fast and pray. One was a religious leader and the other was a sinner. That's the idea, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee said in his heart, I fast twice a week. Verse 11, standing by himself, he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm here on the seventh. I'm not like these others, these people who aren't fully committed to you like I am. I thank you that I've lived a lifestyle of fasting that I stand before you righteous compared to these. Right? And I'm fasting right now to prove that to myself and to you and to them. A sinner, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But beat his breast. The idea is just laid himself bare before the Lord in all his mess. And said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm fasting that I could encounter you even though I'm a mess. Jesus said, I tell you that the man who went there saying, I don't know if I'm connecting to all this. I have questions about who you are, who I am. I just know I need you, God. And I'm saying, Lord, be merciful to me. Would you encounter me? Could bring me into deeper relationship with you in the midst of this. This man went to his house justified or right before the Lord. Rather than the other. I fast twice a week. This man just shows up. He doesn't have a lifestyle of fasting. He just shows up and fasts one time. The Lord says, that's the one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So again, from our perspective, we're looking and we're saying, Bob fasts twice a week, every week. Man, that guy, he's got it going on with the Lord. He's got it in his faith journey. And then you got the one guy just never fasts, shows up in the corner one day, and you go, well, thank the Lord. Maybe the Lord will get him saved. Right? We do this. And so we just want to go, nope, it's all about the heart posture. This is a spiritual discipline that can be done in legalism, and it can be done with a right heart, but on the outside it looks the same. But God sees. It's always connected to prayer. The fasting of the Scriptures is always seen as a discipline that positions us for a season of focused prayer, both in time and intensity. Prayerless fasting is not biblical fasting. Prayerless fasting is not biblical fasting. It's common to just go, well, I'm fasting, and so I'm positioning my heart to encounter God. But the Bible says that you fast and you talk to the Lord. And you say, Lord, talk to me. You don't distract yourself away from the pain of your fast and just, you know, nap all the time because you're fasting. Guys, I'm talking for personal experience. This is me fasting, okay? It's my story. And I have done entire days of fasting where I didn't even open my Bible or talk to the Lord. I just busied myself to kind of like shut out the pain of fasting. Or like, lunch is coming up, I better work harder, because pretty soon it'll be 2:00 and I'll forget about it. Okay? All of us are going to have some struggles, but I'm just saying, bear in mind, when you've skipped this meal time, open your Bible. Talk to the Lord. That's why you're fasting. All right, so what is the proper heart posture? There's two. Go ahead and flip the page. There's two proper heart postures in fasting. Number one is intimacy-focused fasting. You are fasting, you putting your heart, yourself in a position to be sensitive to the Lord and to humble yourself before the Lord so that you're actually like, picture a water fountain of revelation over here. And what you're doing is you're going to go ahead and stand underneath it through fasting, right? And you're saying, I am positioning myself, God, because you said that fasting is a positioner. And when I eat a ton, I feel pretty dull. How many of you guys could say that? When I'm just like, blah, 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 how spiritually like sensitive are you? When you're just feeling the sensitivity of fasting and you're positioning your heart, and we'll get into this in a minute, how this works in your body, it actually increases the sensitivity of your spirit. God designed us this way. And so you're going, I'm going to put my, you know, my hearing aids on. I'm going to turn them up through fasting. But this doesn't, the Lord loves us. We are righteous through the blood of Jesus. We're not righteous because we fast. We're not righteous because we pray or we give or we serve. But those are all ways that we can position ourselves to hear from Him and grow in Him. Right? How many of you guys know you're going to hear from God more when you pray than when you don't? Right? That's the idea. So fasting for intimacy, the motivation of this fast is simply to draw near, to seek. You just got to go, I want to draw near. I want to seek. Lord, I'm going to humble myself and say, I just want to grow in love, and I'm desperate for more. This mode of fasting and prayer is in general more of a voluntary spiritual discipline that's built into everyday life. In the Bible, the ongoing kind of normal fasting that someone would do on their schedule is for this reason. Okay? And then there's breakthrough focus. So number one, motivated. If you're going after intimacy, that's your motivation. I'm fasting for intimacy. I'm fasting for longing, greater love, longing for the bridegroom. Look at Matthew 9:15. I'm sorry, you know what? Jeremiah, if you could, Mark 2. My fault, buddy. If we could do Mark 2, 18 through 20. So Mark 2, 18 through 20 kind of shows us this. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. This is Mark chapter 2, 18 through 20. And the people came and said to them, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Picture it. Jesus, He's got his guys around him. And I go, we've never seen you guys fast. I thought this was a spiritual discipline. Because the Pharisees fast. And we knew that Jesus liked John, that John was on Jesus' team. And they're like, John's disciples fast. Why aren't you guys? Jesus says, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. And the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in that day. So what Jesus does here is he goes, that normal calendar fasting is for intimacy. That's what it's for. And why would you press into intimacy when I'm standing next to you? Like I'm not there. He goes, how could they fast? They're fasting for exactly what's in front of them. So how could they be in mourning and in rending their heart before something that they already have? He goes, but when I'm taken away, these guys are going to fast. Trust me. They'll long for me. They'll want to connect. And they'll fast. Breakthrough focus fasting. The motivation for this fast is the desire for God to bring breakthrough or victory in response to a crisis or a unique intercessory focus. How many of you guys have been burdened for your kids? Just like super burdened for your kids. And sometimes in those moments, you're like, I'm gonna fast. Right? I just feel this burden. So it's intercessory burden. Or there's a crisis. There's a crisis happening and you need breakthrough in the crisis. And you're saying, Lord, I'm going to humble myself and fast before you. I need breakthrough. Okay? So we have, this is normally a spontaneous fast. Didn't see this one coming. And all of a sudden, the Spirit leads you into a fast. Okay? These fasts are common in the life of a believer, but generally longer in length or until a breakthrough or victory is seen or felt. We see this in the Bible as an open, a lot of these guys are like, I'm fasting until. And the Lord brings breakthrough. That's between you and the Spirit. But let's look at this one, Daniel 10. Now, Daniel is, he's brought into this experience where he sees a vision, he can't make sense of it. He knows it's really important. He doesn't understand it. And so he begins to fast. He goes, Lord, I need victory. I need breakthrough in my understanding. I don't get it. And I know it's super important. Let's look at this. So he has this wild vision in Daniel 9. And then in Daniel 10, 2 and 3, he goes, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he stops eating certain foods. If we know Daniel, it's probably a vegetable thing. He's done that before in Daniel 3. But he goes, I decided I was going to eat no meat and no comfort food, no wine, and I'm going to press in for understanding. Look at Verse 10. Chapter 10. That's where we are. Verse 12. So this angel comes on the 21st day of his fast and says, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand. What was his fast about? There it is. Because from the first day that you said, I'm not going to eat, I'm going to change my diet. I'm not going to enjoy comfort foods. I'm just going to give me what my body just barely needs. And I'm going to fast for understanding. What does this dream mean? And you humbled yourself before the Lord your God. Now, this is a key to fasting. This is the idea behind it, is it's a humble position. And I want you to notice that there's some fasts that are from total, I'm not doing any food, and the Lord says, you humbled yourself. Now, Daniel did some food, and the Lord says, you humbled yourself. All right, so bear that in mind when you're going, well, how should I fast? Does it even count? Certain ways. Yes, it's heart position. It counts. Motivation for this kind of fast, spirit-given or desired burden, personal or corporate, physical or spiritual crisis. Someone's blowing a trumpet and saying, I'm calling you to fast. Bring this before the Lord and let the Spirit resonate it in you. Is this a season of fasting or not? And this is exactly what's happening right now. This is what's happening right now. That leaders all over the state of Colorado are saying, Colorado, we're asking, we're blowing a trumpet, and we're saying, we are saying the Lord is calling us to fast for 21 days from the 7th to the 28th for Israel. This is a breakthrough focus fast. All right, voluntary weakness, humility. God created, He's so smart, He's so wise. God created us in such a way that our physical body and our soul, which biblically is our mind, will, and emotions, is strengthened or weakened through nourishment. How many of you guys know that? Not just your physical body, your mind, will, and emotions is affected by how you eat. Right? And God designed it that way. That those two things can be strengthened or weakened by how we eat. And He designed us in His wisdom so that we can choose to be weak and humble by abstaining from food. And in this humble and weak position, our spirits, so this part of us that was crafted in Him in the image of God, to connect to His heart. That He goes, He creates man and He makes them in the image of God uniquely from all other creatures. When animals fast, their spirit doesn't get sensitive. They just get real hungry. When people fast, their spirit gets sensitive to the Lord. Now, He designed us this way. Why? Because He loves love. And He says, I am giving you a voluntary position to take. And I'm going to do it in such a way that it's going to be your choice. And when you do it, you're going to heighten your sensitivity to me. And I'm going to give you this so that everybody could enter into it. This is the level playing field. If I choose to abstain from food for a season, my spirit gets sensitive. If I overeat and overeat and overeat, my spirit gets duller and duller. Now look at this, look at some of these verses here. Psalm 51, 15 through 17. O Lord, open my lips, and with my mouth I'll declare your praise. This is worship. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I'd give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart. When you see these, when you see me put my heart before you and humble myself, that you feel the worship and you draw near. Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the Lord, who's high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and I also dwell with him who's of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. He goes, I've built myself a home in the heavens. I sit on a throne, I dwell there. I love my house. I like being there. But I also like, and I will come and be with, those who will humble their heart before me and say, revive my heart, God. He goes, oh, I'm there. I like that just as much as people of praise. Number one, to fast is to humble yourself. These are connected. Let's look at Isaiah. Well, we'll skip Isaiah's passage. Kings, 1 Kings 21. Ahab heard the words, Ahab, your life is a mess. You're wicked before the Lord. You need to get right with God. Ahab heard these words. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his body, and fasted, and went about in pain over it, in mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself?" What did Ahab do? He fasted. Now, his heart was right too, but he fasted. And the Lord says, he got humble. This is the contrite heart. This is the broken spirit. This is the humble heart that I can draw to. And he goes, I will recognize it, and I will not bring the calamity that I said I was going to bring. Psalm 69, verse 10, I wept and I humbled my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, because I weakened them through fasting. I wept and I humbled my soul with fasting. If you want to look at more, Isaiah, we already looked at how Daniel, he did a partial fast, and the Lord says, you humbled yourself. I'm recognizing this. This is humility. All right, at heightened sensitivity, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and soul is mind, will, and emotions, and a body. These three parts are spoken of as distinct parts of us in the Bible, but they're deeply connected. How many of you guys know, how many people know, like, depression and things that happen in the soul and mind, they manifest in physical things. Physical sickness, physical disease, physical weakness, right? We're deeply connected, but distinct. All right. When it comes to the subject of fasting, it's both biblical and experiential that food intake affects our soul and spirit. I want to show you two things. Leviticus, the Lord actually assigns a day to the people of Israel. He goes, on this day, I want you to put it on the calendar. On the seventh month, the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves. Ah! He goes, I want you to afflict your souls. Well, that word is the same word that we use as fasting. That's what he actually meant. He goes, on this day, I don't want you to eat. And in not eating, you're going to actually afflict your soul. You're going to weaken it. Now, this particular fast was so that they could get more in touch with their need for God. And he put it on the calendar. He goes, you'll probably lose sight of this. I'm going to help you. How many of you guys have lost sight of your need for God sometimes? He goes, here's what I want you to do. Put it on the calendar, and I want you to fast and get weak and feel it. And you go, yeah, I need the Lord. Numbers 29 is another one. Acts 13. Let's look at this, 1 through 3. They were in the church of Antioch, prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simon, Saul at the time, this is Paul. They're all there. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called for them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now, the idea here is what Luke's trying to say in the book of Acts here is he goes, fasting was a part of how they heard. They were on purpose bringing sensitivity to the Lord through fasting, and the Lord spoke through in their sensitivity. Now, my guess is the Lord's been speaking, and they just got underneath that waterfall and turned up their hearing aids. And they're like, yeah, we're sensitive to the Lord now. We're all saying this is what he's doing. And then they continued to fast as they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So this wasn't a fast of intimacy. Again, this is a fast for direction. All right, guidelines. I'm going to hit two things. Matt, come on up. You guys got lots of guidelines coming your way. In the back on the white table, you'll see this thick document from the House of Prayer. I took a lot of the stuff that's in mine right off of this, all right? This is very comprehensive, and I would encourage you, read through it. It's got all kinds of helpful things. It's got more Bible for you, so grab one of those on your way out. Here's what I'm going to say. There's a bizarre, it kind of gets legalistic and weird. Matthew 6:16-18, Jesus says, when you fast, not if, when you fast, don't brag about it. Don't do it. Don't fast and then like make sure everybody knows you're fasting. Don't blow a trumpet. Don't get all sad, kind of mope around and say, what's wrong with it? I'm fasting. I just want you to know. Right? And so I was in a very much a fasting community. We fasted a day a week and we fasted 3 days a month. And it got awkward because you got this Matthew 16. Somebody says, hey, Justin, here's some cupcakes for you. I made these for you. And you go, oh, I can't take them. Oh, are you on a diet? No. Are you allergic to cupcakes? No. Well, why can't you? I just can't have them. Okay, that's weird. Thanks. It just got weird. Got invited to dinner. What do you say? Because if I say I'm fasting, then I'm bragging. Right? And so we had this policy. It was don't ask, don't tell. And I'm like, well, that's just hard. Like, can you come to dinner? No. Do you not like me? Right? Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to just, let's just punch out of all that weird legalism. If you're fasting, politely tell somebody. It's okay. What Jesus is after is he's like, it's not wrong to say you're fasting if someone says, do you want a cupcake? It's wrong that your fasting is all about making men see you. Right? Again, it's heart posture. Because this, you don't want this heart posture. If someone says, hey, can you come over for dinner? You say, no, I'm in a season of fasting. The Lord just led me to. I would love to come to your house though. Or whatever. That stuff just gets so weird. It's okay to say you're fasting. But what you don't want to do is get on the radio and say, I want everybody to know that I'm fasting. Right? If you're asked about it or you find yourself in that situation, it's okay. Just say it. Let's avoid the weirdness and the legalism. Amen? All right. Two tips. Matt, go ahead and play. Drink water like crazy. There is no fast in the Bible that's away from water. So drink water like crazy. Number 5 and 6 on here. Have a clear target as your prayer focus. This is what I want to bring this up now, because I want to give you a couple of weeks and go before the Lord and say, Lord, would you position my heart to fast? I want a goal in mind. I want to say, Lord, some of you guys are, I'm not really resonating. I don't connect to the Israel thing. Well, maybe for you, say, Lord, during this 21 days, would you open my heart? Open up my understanding. That's a clear goal. That's a great one. This may seem obvious, but busyness and distractions will keep you away from what this fast is about. You're supposed to have time now because you don't have to eat as much. Number 6, notice this. When you break your commitment of fasting. Come on now. How many of you guys have said, I'm going to fast? Noon rolled around. You went, And then you just said, I'm done for the whole day, and just went jelly beans and the whole thing. You just went wild with it. I already broke my fast. It's over. I'll try again in another day. Don't do that. Don't do that. That happens to all of us. I've done it where I'm just like, I'm eating and I'm going, I'm fasting. What am I doing? I just surprised myself. When you break your commitment of fasting, not if, everybody will break it at some point, probably in your lifestyle of fasting. You might not break it in this 21 days, but in your lifestyle, you'll eat the brownie. You just will. And when it happens, don't quit. Don't give up. Just hit delete and keep pressing in. Right? Because we're so tempted. I screwed up. Might as well just eat. Don't do it. Amen? Let's stand. Lord, we want right hearts. But I pray right now for this church family. Lord, I just bring the state of Colorado before you. I bring before you a million intercessors that'll be joining hands from May 7th to May 28th in a spirit of fasting. Lord, I pray that you would look down and see a humble, aligned people God, we want to position ourselves to encounter you. God, we want to position ourselves for understanding. Lord, we're rending our hearts before you and say, God, would you save your people Israel? And so as I'm just, there's a place, there's a season right here where I want to encourage you guys to just get before the Lord and say, Lord, how should I fast? What do you want me to do, God? And I believe the Spirit's going to speak to all of us, and he's going to have something for us. Here's what I want you to do. Just have that yes in your spirit. Say, Lord, I want to participate. How? And God, I pray for grace. Whatever, however they sign up, however you move upon us, give us strength to do it, to respond in this hour. God, you are blowing a trumpet and calling a fast. God, help us to do it in the right spirit, right mode. Give us strength to continue to press forward in a unique way, in the way that you want, all across this state, all across the globe, for 21 days from the 7th to the 28th. God, position us. Amen.